We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Oh, the most interactive sports show in South Carolina is in your eardrums, episode number 98. Great to be here with you today, folks. Coming up 16 minutes from right now, the Atlanta Braves got into a fight on the diamond with the Pittsburgh Pirates last week. Evidently, the words, the very intelligent words that spawned this fight were, "What are you looking at?" Very sophisticated there. "What are you looking at?" Evidently starts a fight. In honor of the Braves fight with the Pittsburgh Pirates, we are opening it up to you at 3:20. Here's what we're putting on the line: a hat and a t-shirt from ESPN Upstate, or the ability to host a segment of this show. I turn it over to you. You're hosting the segment. Or extra props and recognition. I will give you a shout out each and every day of this week on the show. Okay? And here's the challenge for you. You have to find the fighting words for Will Muschamp and Dabo Swinney. If you're a Clemson fan, you're trying to piss Will Muschamp off. If you're a South Carolina fan, you're trying to piss Dabo Swinney off. By my judgment and Lonzo's judgment, the listener that does the best job of that in the 3:20 segment is the winner, okay? We prefer you to call in, but we will accept your texts and tweets at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. We will also accept your tweets at MARC Ryan on air. That's at Mark Ryan on air. All right? So that gauntlet has been thrown, and we will be open for that coming up in the next segment at 3:20 p.m. As far as right now, well, we do it each and every day at this time. We call it the top three at three, and the top three at three starts right now. All right, at number three today, quick, who won the U.S. Open? Anybody? Fry? Bueller? Anyone? See, Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open, and that's a problem for golf, ladies and gentlemen. See, I'm a casual sports fan, and I don't view that as a knock on me, because I feel like if you are the hardcore nerd sports fan that knows every single third-string offensive lineman, third-string stat, then you're probably going to host a pretty boring sports radio show. If your life isn't interesting, your show won't be interesting either. And I've always believed that. One of my mentors told me way back when, the best hosts watch the fewest games. So here is my philosophy when it comes to a sport like golf that I don't normally watch as a casual sports fan. If I've heard of you, that means you're probably pretty good. And that's my philosophy for boxing, for golf, for NASCAR, and for hockey. Because I don't usually watch those sports, if I've heard of you, it probably means you're pretty good, right? So be that as it may, I haven't heard of Gary Woodland. He's the 25th ranked golfer in the world. He's an American. But the problem for Sir Gary here is that when Rory McIlroy, when Brooks Koepka, and when Tiger Woods don't win a tournament, golf loses momentum. Exactly what buzz was there for the U.S. Open this weekend? Here it is. Wait, I'll wait. Can you hear it? No, I couldn't either. It had no buzz. It had no reaction because one of those three guys was not contending in this tournament. And folks, my opinion, this is a real problem for the sport of golf. You compare it to other sports. Each of the last three NBA champions have told an amazing story. LeBron James bringing the first title in 44 years to his home city of Cleveland. Big city kid, The superstar of America goes back home to his rundown town, and he brings them an NBA championship. Sports stories get no better than that. The Golden State Warriors winning the championships with Durant, perhaps the most talented team in NBA history, and the villain of the NBA. Wherever the Golden State Warriors go, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a story. And the Toronto Raptors winning the NBA championship. We, the North, shunned, overlooked. They can never get any free agents. Every star they've had has left them. Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Chris Bosh wanted nothing to do with that city at that place and time. Yet they overcame that. They traded well. They drafted incredibly well. And now we, the North, really the biggest underdog city in the NBA, has an NBA championship. But you see, golf is not delivering those kinds of stories with that level of consistency. When Gary Woodland wins a major, and he's never won a major before, and no disrespect meant to Gary, I don't mean to be harsh, no one gives a rip what his story is. Golf has a problem in that we only care, they can only get the casual fan like me to tune in, if one of those three guys, McIlroy, Koepka, or Tiger, is in contention on a Sunday. Next up, at number two today, the Lakers acquire Anthony Davis in a blockbuster of all blockbuster trades. Why did they have to make this trade right now? Well, for one, LeBron isn't getting any younger. 34, he'll be 35 in December. You can't waste another year waiting for Anthony Davis to get there. But my, oh my, did they ever give up the farm, the cottage, the house, and the kids in this trade? For Anthony Davis, the Lakers gave up Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, their fourth overall pick in this year's draft, and two additional first-round picks. Folks, the Lakers gave up six first-round picks for Anthony Davis. And that trade makes them better, believe it or not. Now they shift their focus to Kemba Walker, who is listed as their number one priority between now and the end of free agency. Jimmy Butler would be a heck of a nice consolation prize. And the most surprising thing to me about this trade is that they didn't even have to give up Kyle Kuzma, who was, outside of LeBron James, their best piece. They didn't even have to give up Kyle Kuzma in this particular trade. So where does this trade leave the Lakers today? Well, they could rise from this spot with another superstar, but I have the Lakers right now sixth in my NBA power poll as we sit here today before the NBA draft and before NBA free agency. The Lakers right now are behind, in my estimation, number five Denver, number four the Clippers. I have the Clippers getting Kawhi Leonard in free agency here. Number three Philadelphia. We still don't know what's happening with Jimmy Butler. Number two Houston. And number one, the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not a championship contender yet. And I'll tell you, LeBron had his buddy Lonzo Ball on his show, The Barbershop, but I think he wanted him traded the entire time. I think he wanted him traded the entire time that this has been going on. And not everybody is overly happy with this trade. Remember Lonzo's father, LeVar Ball? Well, he said this is going to be the Lakers' future.
Like I say again, it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed. They're going to regret it. I'm going to have fun with it. Because I told y'all it was crashing down. Now it completely crashed, but at least my son got off the boat before the thing exploded. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three Ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let them go, whoa, it's going to be a cold day in hell.
Whoa, it's going to be a cold day in hell. LeVar Ball, love it. I don't agree with him at all, and I feel sorry that New Orleans has to put up with this guy. But be that as it may, I think the Lakers get a lot better. I think the Pelicans are the best, are the most exciting young team in the NBA. Can't wait to watch them with Spartanburg's own Zion Williamson. And finally, So Scott Van Pelt of ESPN, love him, love his show. He is sparring with Clemson Tigers fans. Here's why. The day after Dabo Swinney signed his record deal, 10 years, $93 million, Scott Van Pelt hosts the Midnight Eastern Sports Center, and he closes with kind of one, he opens with one big thing. In his one big thing that day, he said the following: "You can't give me the little old Clemson story anymore. Stop it. You're a juggernaut. You just signed a $93 million deal. You can't aw shucks anybody anymore. You're not the underdog. You're the big dog." The words of Scott Van Pelt. And folks, I totally agree with him. Clemson has had this cute little engine that could story going on for quite some time. And there was a certain charm to that. There was a charm to beating Alabama when Alabama has the number one overall class and you have the 11th overall class. But I was saying this, and I feel this genuinely, Clemson fans. Isn't some of the charm lost when you now have the best players in the country? Isn't some of the charm lost when you now have the number one recruiting class in the country? I'm not saying you should decline the commitment of DJ Uiagalelei. That would be ridiculous. Yet there was something really charming about doing that with a lower-ranked recruiting class. There was something really kind of little engine that could about that, that, in my opinion, has been lost. And Scott Van Pelt agrees with me. Stop with the cute little stories. He continues, "I don't understand being offended, Clemson fans being offended by me saying Clemson isn't little ol' anything anymore. Like they're Wofford or Furman or something. They're an absolute juggernaut. It's a compliment, and pretending to be the little engine that could is just silly." The words of Scott Van Pelt. Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Text line 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. And email, you can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All right, we've been teasing this all show. Lonzo and I will share our fighting words for Will Muschamp and Dabo Swinney, but we really open it up to you guys. In honor of a Braves fight with the Pittsburgh Pirates, if you were charged with instigating a fight with Will Muschamp or Dabo Swinney, depending on what side of that rivalry you're on, what would you say to them? The best answers from you. Get a hat and a t-shirt from ESPN Upstate. The right to host a segment of this show or special recognition. I'll give you props and shout-outs throughout the week. 1-844-477-3776. We'll also accept them via text and via Twitter. And all that begins right now on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, check on our text line. Clay C. agrees with me about Anthony Davis on the Lakers. Thanks for the text, Clay. This guy, Mark Ryan, almost made me pee my pants when he said, "I got spanked last night." I did. What's wrong with that? and we have people submitting their piss off Muschamp and Dabo. Mark, obviously you weren't paying attention. Brooks Koepka was in contention. He finished three shots off the lead, sir. I never felt like he was really going to threaten Gary Woodland yesterday. I never felt like he was truly going to threaten him in that particular match. Gary Woodland basically led wire to wire. It was really kind of anticlimactic, honestly. All right. So this to me is a blast. And it's a blast because To me, the most interesting part of baseball these days has been the fighting. I mean, they, you know, the pace of play and so on and so forth, and you either hit a home run or you strike out. All the problems that baseball has right now, the declining attendance, lowered TV ratings, are well chronicled, right? But the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Atlanta Braves last week got in a fight when the following phrase was uttered: "What are you looking at?" It's the most basic of the fundamental questions for a fight. It is more straightforward than "you talking to me," much more straightforward than "do you bite your thumb at us, sir?" It's declaring an action in the most passive behaviors: looking, not staring, not glaring, just looking. And suggesting that it has been a motive has been challenged. So that, those words, "what are you looking at," started a fight between the Braves and the Pirates last week. And Lonzo and I kick around some different ideas for the show, and Lonzo said, "Mark, what words would make you want to brawl?" I have learned to call his daughter Raven and not a different name, because those words tend to make Lonzo want to throw me out the window, okay? So because we are all in the business of kumbaya here, we have learned not to have those as fighting words here on the show. What we did decide to do, though, is challenge you, whatever side of the fence you're on, okay? What words could you say that would piss off Dabo Swinney? What words could you say that would piss off Will Muschamp? The very best of your takes here will win one of the following prizes. Either a hat and a t-shirt from ESPN Upstate, number one. Number two, the right to host a segment of this show. The right to host a segment of this show, okay? You become the host, I fade into the background. All right, a lot of you are saying, hell yeah, that's way better. Or finally, I'll give you special recognition throughout the whole week. I'll give you personally a shout out on the show each and every day of this week. All right, so let's get to some of them. Casey Helderman is a Clemson fan, and she's trying to piss off Will Muschamp by showing a gif of him screaming disconcerting signals. All right, let's keep it going here. Fred at ORLY_Fred says, looking back through the history of Clemson coaches, Dabo Swinney is clearly the Will Muschamp of Clemson coaches. I don't think that works because he's not. He's not. Now, Michael Stathakis has a track record of doing very, very well with these things, okay? Here is Michael Stathakis' entry on the pro-South Carolina antagonizing Dabo Swinney side of things. Although I greatly respect him, I would tell Dabo, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer won at two different schools with a laundry list of assistants. You need two co-offensive coordinators and the highest-paid defensive assistant in the NCAA. Also, nobody wears pleated khakis.
I think the khakis is the only thing that's really a diss. I mean, you know, but that works.
Okay.
But those khakis make no sense.
Okay. Now we check on the text line. We check on the text line. Somebody wants to piss off Muschamp because he's doing it by text because he can't call it work. Can't call it at work. And this particular person, hang on here. Let me find this because his text went over. He said, Mr. Muschamp, how many players do you recognize on the sideline of Georgia and Clemson that you tried to recruit? And do you think getting all the recruiting leftovers affects your ability to win? That would piss off Will Muschamp. If he asked that in a press conference, that would 100% piss him off. How does settling for the leftovers of Clemson and Georgia affect your chance to win? Lonzo, you seem less than impressed so far.
I am. And it's hard to do. It really is. A few years ago, it would have been easy to make Dabo mad. All you had to do was this.
Well, five in a row.
Yes.
Five
All you had to do is hold up to five fingers, and a lot of people would do that behind his back and stuff. And I've heard from people who said that really, really made him mad.
Now, you and I will share your and my fighting words to Will Muschamp and Dabo Swinney, okay? We also have some calls coming in and some texts to get to as well. hey, Will, I have more national championships than you have signature wins. Enjoy your last 2 years as a head coach. Bear and Blackman. Let's get to Brian, who's hanging on the line, who has some fighting words as well, where you can chime in at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Brian, thanks for the call. You're offsides. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Fantastic, bud. Thanks for your call.
Before I get to my fighting words, I wanted to say that you said golf was only interesting when those three guys were in the hunt.
Yep.
He finished second.
I never really felt like Gary Woodland wasn't going to win that, you know?
Well, because he didn't waver down the stretch. If he'd have had one bad hole, they would have been.
Right.
Basically, when he was on 18, if Gary Woodland doesn't get up and down and Koepka does, they're tied. So, I mean, it was close. But anyway, my fighting words are, I'm a Clemson fan, how far is the South Carolina football team from a national championship? The answer is 115 miles up the interstate to Clemson, South Carolina.
I like it a lot, Brian. I like that a lot. Now, Brian, hang on the line, okay, and let Lonzo get your information here. Let Lonzo get your information, because that right now, I'm going to say, Lonzo, do you agree? That's the leader in the clubhouse right now.
I don't see how that's going to be beat, but that's a challenge. Beat that.
Hopefully your takes will beat it.
It won't.
Okay.
It won't.
Hopefully my takes will beat it. Come on.
Yours definitely.
Let's have some competition here. All right. Here we go. So Brian, we really appreciate that call. 1-844-477-3776 is the number to join us on the show. Texts, tweets coming in fast and furious. I'm trying to keep up with all of these. Lonzo, it's time to get to mine, okay? It's time to get to mine. See, people chiming in now, people thinking they can beat Brian at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to get to us on the show today. I feel like, as is the case with many things here in the upstate, many of you are just being really, really nice. And I'm a little bit concerned by how rude I am in mine. But my job was to piss them off. And I'm thinking to myself, how can I piss them off? Okay? So for my Clemson, the thing to piss off Dabo Swinney, Lonzo, have you ever heard the song Ebony and Ivory? You know how it goes, Lonzo.
Really?
Ebony,
you're asking?
Ebony and Ivory. Right? So here we go.
What's the next line?
Clemsonine and Osterine live together in perfect harmony, side by side on the field and in your supplements. Oh, Lord, why don't we? I think Dabo Swinney would walk out if I said that to him.
You know, the only bad part about this is you were a music major, and, man, you were off on
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I was
yeah,
off on that.
That really bothers
because
me.
Because I don't really know that song very well.
Really? So
I don't really.
It's embarrassing.
So, well, okay, but I think the lines were solid there. Okay,
the lines were good. But
and Osterine live together in perfect harmony. You got to appreciate that, right? I think you got to appreciate
that. You know, if you have to do this to keep your timing,
yeah,
you should do that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you there.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was pretty good.
Okay. My thing to piss off Will Muschamp, very simple. How does it feel to be Clemson's bitch? Done. Game over. Mark Ryan wins. How does it feel to be Clemson's B? Done. I win. Or how about, you're a hell of a recruiter, Will, but has anyone ever gotten less out of more? He gets all these top recruits, never does anything with them. Wouldn't you think that would piss off either of those two things? Would piss off Will Muschamp to no end? I don't know. I think your humble correspondent may just have won this thing, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you. I think I've pissed off everybody. I think I've pissed off the entire upstate. Let's see what Jimmy has to say in his fighting words. Jimmy, thanks so much for the call. You're offsides. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fantastic, bud.
Mine's for Dabo. Where can I get some of that shaving cream laced with Osterine?
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, Jimmy, I appreciate it, brother. Thanks so much for the call. Okay, Lonzo, we need to come to a determination here on who has won. Or we can just be cheap and say that I won and therefore nobody has to win because I feel like my lines were the best, okay? Clemsoning, to those new to the area like me, used to be a verb used to describe how Dabo Swinney and Clemson back in the day would always find a way to choke away close games. Now they've got, to their credit, the hardest thing to do in life is change your reputation. They've changed that reputation. They're winning games now. But to drop Clemsoning and Osterine in a cover of Ebony and Ivory, I think is kind of money, okay? To Will Muschamp, we've all seen Will Muschamp with steam coming out of his ears. Can you imagine how much it would shock him in a press conference if I said, how does it feel to be Clemson's bitch? Can you even imagine his face if somebody said that to him? So, Lonzo, I hereby nominate myself, but I'm going to give you the final determination here as to the winner of our challenge. Now, Jimmy wants some of that shaving cream that has Osterine in it that Clemson is, quote-unquote, wink-wink, giving to the football players. And Brian, what was Brian's again, Lonzo? How far are you away from a national championship? Go 115 miles up the road?
Yeah.
115 miles up the road? All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
See, I hate to do this, and this is going to sound like it's cheap and like I'm doing this because of that, and I'm not kissing up to the host because I could care less what the host thinks of me. but the original thing is what would make them mad enough to fight, and I think that would make Muschamp mad enough to fight. We've seen him angry before. You say that to him, he's coming around that podium. He just does, and the way you said it, I mean, it was I don't want to give it to you, but I give it to you.
Okay.
You can decide differently if you want.
I appreciate it very much, Lonzo.
Because you saying it made me mad. So I can imagine what it would do to Muschamp.
I love it. I love it, man. All right. So so Lonzo declares yours truly the victor. That was, in fact, the job, by the way. Lonzo can tell you I'm very, very good at making people mad. He can tell you that. This is a skill.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is a skill that I have. I'm very proficient at it. But I'm going to give it to Brian, okay? I'm going to give it to Brian. I thought, how far away are you from a national championship, Will? I'll tell you, about 115 miles up the road at Clemson University. I thought that's fantastic. And that is trolling at a whole new level. And I love it. I love it. So, Brian, your choice. Host a segment of this show. Props and shout-outs for you. I would give you a shout-out every day this week or had in a T-shirt, ESPN Upstate. Okay? You let us know, Brian, and we will get that to you. Still to come on the show, an outstanding best thing we heard today that I'm not going to give away outside of that. Plus, the sports world has reacted to Anthony Davis now being an LA Laker. We'll chime in. We'll also get your thoughts and opinions on Make Dabo and Make Will Mad. Still to come next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Congratulations to Brian for winning our challenge, although coming in too late. Lonzo, these people were fantastic on the text line. Oh, what the hell, Lonzo? I'll say it. We debated whether or not to say this. Hey, Will, do you like Vaseline or not when Clemson is bending you over? That's from Jason. Name is Jason. He comes in with that. This is the one that I love, Lonzo. Hey, Will, is it harder to shake Dabo's hand as he adds more rings to it?
That's pretty good. That is really solid.
It just came in, I think, slightly too late. That is really, 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 really good. And I think it's fantastic. Silver Fox SC loves Michael Stathakis's knock on Dabo for his pleated khakis, that he wears pleated khakis. Casey Helderman says, Mark, Will wouldn't walk out on you for anything you said to him. Dabo would walk out from your bad singing. I mean, he can deal with your Clemsoning and Osterine. They're together in sweet harmony. I'll spare you guys from this point moving forward.
Mark Ryan has a cold. He's had it for a couple weeks now. So, I mean, you know, when he's at full strength, he will amaze you with his melodious tones.
No, probably not. I amazed Lonzo with how bad my karaoke was during one of the segments during the break.
You know what? Karaoke isn't about being good. It's about having enough guts to get up there and do it.
Let me tell you, man, like, you wouldn't think we would get nervous doing karaoke. You wouldn't think so because of what we do for a living. Dude, when I got up there, my legs felt like jello. Like, I was unbelievably nervous there, and I karaoke'd to Santa Monica from Everclear, right? And I know that song so well. Plus, like you said, Lonzo, during the break, the song is kind of half talking and half singing. It's easier to sing songs like that because you don't have to be that on point with the notes. But I try to be on point with the notes. I can sing that song without missing notes until they do this to you. They, during the song at karaoke, they try to get you to sing a different part than you're used to singing, right? And they switch keys on you to a different key that you're used to singing it in. So all of a sudden, I can't reach some of the notes anymore, man. Crazy, crazy. But anyway, had a fun time with Jeff Pantridge. Out at Sharky's, and also with Sheree Taylor.
Did Jeff karaoke?
No, he went home. Okay, he went home. He went home, as a matter of fact, because I was going to karaoke. He said, "Mark, I can't subject myself."
He has
to
a history with you. He's heard that before, so good move on his part, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good move on Jeff's part. By the way, Straight Up with Sturge is back in town, and so Straight Up with Sturge. We'll be back in full
force. I have a question for you.
Sure.
I do believe that this is true. All right. Sturge just tweeted a little bit earlier a picture of him on a horse.
Yeah.
I think he got on the horse to take the picture just so he could say that he was back in the saddle. I think he did it just for that reason.
You know what's funny about that? He said this should be a bucket list item, and he showed horses walking in salt water in a lagoon, right? And I said, "Where are you in this picture?" He goes, "No, that's the group ahead of us." So that lends credence to what you're saying. Did Sturge actually take a horse into a blue lagoon? Or is this just a picture of something somebody else did?
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe there's someone standing on the other side kind of holding him up so
yeah.
he doesn't fall off the horse or something.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think that that could very, very well be the case. Want to quickly get to your Blue Ridge Law Firm injury report today by letting you know that Kevin Durant has had successful Achilles tendon surgery. I don't know what that means, successful surgery. You hear that all the time, successful. If it was successful, couldn't he play tomorrow? I mean, you fixed what was broken, didn't you? No, but he's got a he's got a rehab now for an entire year because he came back too soon. In any case, happy for Kevin Durant that the surgery was successful. That is your injury report from your blue-collar attorneys, 298-0000 at the Blue Ridge Law Firm, attorneys you can trust here in the upstate area. You know, there was a surgery, Lonzo, that didn't go successful, and it broke my heart, but there's probably a name that you remember that may have fallen from memory. His name was Sharif Floyd, was a first-round pick on the defensive line out of the University of Florida, was killing it for the Minnesota Vikings, and 2 years ago he had surgery on his knee, and they screwed up all the tendons and ligaments in his knee, and he can't play football anymore. They damaged the ligaments to his knee while he was having surgery. And it's amazing to me that story isn't a bigger deal because that should never happen with a professional athlete, with the caliber of doctors that they have access to. How does that ever happen? But because of what happened during surgery, and he immediately knew when he woke up from surgery that something wasn't right when he couldn't move his leg, right? Like he can't play football anymore, and he had an insurance policy, and he gets to cash out an insurance policy. But this is a guy who was on the verge of making Pro Bowls. You don't want to say some guy could have been a Hall of Famer, but he was a fantastic defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings from the University of Florida. So I followed him, and I'm thinking last year, man, what happened to Sharif Floyd? Why am I not seeing him on their depth chart anymore? And he had this surgery that went horribly wrong, and he doesn't get to play football anymore, man. And that, to me, is as heartbreaking as it gets. Imagine having the thing that you love, you know, taken away from you.
See, I don't get that. I don't get them. Back in 1987, I had a complete knee just blew out and shredded every ligament underneath. And they were able to put my knee back together and my ligaments all back together where I can walk fairly normal and can run.
Could you play again?
I asked them before the surgery, would I be able to play again? And they said yes. So if I would have been, if I would have got into shape like I needed to get into and things like that at the time, yes, I could have played again.
See, you know what? You look up, all you got to do is look up this Sharif Floyd story, man. And it's amazing. The NFL never talks about it. Nobody ever talks about it. It's like he dropped off the face of the earth. First round pick, last 6 or 7 years in the NFL. First round pick, man. Surgery ruined his knee. Unbelievable. Unbelievably sad. All right, coming up next, it's the best thing we heard today, and it really takes aim in a negative way at Tyson Fury. It's still the best thing I heard today because it's a really positive message, and Tyson Fury should be ashamed. Am I saying that right, Tyson Fury?
Yeah, you're saying it right.
Tyson Fury should be ashamed of himself, and you'll know why next. The best thing we heard today right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. A check on the text line. I guess that's why so many go to Dr. James Andrews for surgery. Exactly right. I mean, you want to go to a guy that's not going to screw up your leg.
Yeah, when you know the guy's name, that means he's been out there and he's famous and he probably does a good job.
Bill Backus says, you got spanked last night and loved it, Mark? What was his name? Should I push send? Not funny, Bill. Lonzo's laughing. Oh, the entire upstate's laughing. Okay, the entire upstate's laughing at that. Okay. Brian Andrews emails to the show, Dabo Sweeney's shtick is coming straight from the humble coach's playbook. Humble coaches always play the underdog card and will in extreme cases even claim their team isn't very good when it underperforms against an inferior opponent and still manages to win by 20. The routine is old and needs to be retired. I believe Lou Holtz was the master of the, oh, woe is me, first world coaching problems. Lonzo, I'd take the outspoken dad over the outspoken wife. It'd be much easier to tell him to shut up at some point. That's
pretty much what we said. Yeah,
Lonzo asked earlier in the show, either or, would you want an outspoken dad or an outspoken wife? And both Lonzo and I selected the outspoken dad. Be that as it may, it's time for the best thing we heard today. And Tyson Fury is, he's one of the best fighters out there today. He's a massive figure. But in his past, he has said things that are very, very homophobic, right? Very against people. Folks, even though I'm a normal, red-blooded American male, and even though I'm a heterosexual male, I've always believed that acceptance is the answer to so many things in life. So Israel Gutierrez is a gay ESPN sports personality, and he's frequently featured on Around the Horn with Tony Reale, which you can see on the ESPN family of networks, right? And when you win that show, you get 30 seconds to opine on whatever you want to opine to. And Israel Gutierrez took aim at Tyson Fury for how Tyson has hurt him over the years.
I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about this Tyson Fury-Tom Schwartz fight that's on ESPN Plus on Saturday. Just wanted to let you guys know what it feels like to watch Tyson Fury, a man who's been very open about his beliefs, including the fact that homosexuality and the acceptance of it is a sign that the world is ending. It makes me feel like I don't matter. It makes me feel like my friends don't matter. It makes me feel like my partner doesn't matter. It takes me right back to my teenage years and my early childhood when I looked around and thought everybody was looking down on me, thinking that I'm lesser than just because of this way I was born. But I'm still going to watch, and I'm going to hope that it strengthens me, because it's because of guys like that that I have to fight every single day.
And that's hard to listen to. And it was, and Tony Reale always ends his show with like a funny one-liner, and he didn't do that there, because Israel Gutierrez was saying that with tears in his eyes. And you could tell how much words like that still hurt people. And folks, love is the answer. Acceptance is the answer. There, no two of us are alike in any single way. And I think Charles Barkley described this best about, was it Jason Collins, the gay assistant coach in the NBA? He said, I didn't care who Jason Collins went to bed with last night. And I don't care who he goes to bed with now that I know his sexual orientation. Straight Up with Sturge is coming your way next. Thanks for listening to the most interactive sports show in South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.